Come on in, family. It's supper time. We look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb that's talked about in the book of Revelation. This is a sneak preview that we get to have here. So wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. We are going to be following the story of what we call the Last Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Probably should have shared this last week because so many times when it comes to the Lord's Supper, some people are afraid. They've read stuff in the Bible or had people read stuff in the Bible that says, be careful that you don't partake in a manner unworthy or you can eat and drink damnation to yourselves. And as might seem like a smart choice, something that has that attached to it, just stay away. But if you read very carefully, and actually you don't have to read that carefully, if you just, like so many other passages, read what leads up to it and what follows, you'll find that what Paul is saying, that to eat and drink at the Lord's table unworthily is not to admit that you're a sinner and that you have struggles in your life. It's actually to come to the Lord's table to prove that you're greater than anybody else. He said in that church back then, he said, you got people that are coming and bringing their retinue and all their fine feast while other people have barely anything and they're showing that they're so much better. That's the deal. If you come here today knowing that you need Jesus, and willing to accept us, Motley Crue, as your family, then you are eating and drinking just the way that Jesus intended. So welcome to the Lord's table. Welcome to a sneak preview of the wedding supper of the Lamb. Paul says this, miraculously he was made a witness. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed. And then he goes on to tell the story of this supper that he got to witness vicariously through the grace of Jesus. As we prepare, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for giving us an experience that we can touch, that we can taste, and that we can feel, that says to us unmistakably, we are loved by you. And that we are together to love one another and share what you have given us. Bless our time together. May each and every aspect of it speak to our hearts of you and your love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. Yes. As the deacons come to you, just take one each of the bread and the grape juice. Recognize that you're holding the representations of the body and blood of Jesus given for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess of those in heaven and of those on the earth and those under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We want to make sure that everyone has been served so that we can share in this all together.
I want you to hold up your piece of bread and to look at it. A symbol of Jesus' body. And it's interesting, today Pastor Bob and I are on the same page, literally. I wanted to read Philippians with you. And we've heard it many times. I just want to read over it again as you hold up that piece of bread and you look at it. Because you have to understand that Jesus went from glory to glory. And in between, he went to the deepest valley possible. And it was at the pit of that valley that this human body was sacrificed. The scripture says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human flesh, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. He went from glory to glory, but in the middle was a deep valley. The human race started out in the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. They walked and talked with Jesus face to face. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have a place in glory with him. But right now, you may be in the pits of a valley. Your human body may be suffering. But today, Jesus wants you to know that he has conquered. That his body went to the point of death for you. And so as we celebrate communion today, think of that sacrifice. Think of that example. Think of that hope. Because that's what Paul commanded us to do in Corinthians. And he talks about Jesus' sacrifice. He says, think about this. Partake regularly. There is hope, brothers and sisters. Jesus has overcome the valley. Amen?
Amen.
Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I thank you for leaving heaven. I thank you for taking on human flesh and being willing to sacrifice that and to have your body crucified and killed. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming back, being raised to immortality. No longer human flesh, but glorious divine body. Jesus, help us to remember this. Help us to think of it every day, that we will not always be in the position we are in here on this earth. No matter what we suffer, you have suffered more and you have overcome, and that you have a place for us in glory. We thank you. We celebrate with you. We ask you to bless us in our trials and to bring us with you. Very soon, Jesus, please come. Amen.
Amen.
Please take it. Eat it. All of it.
Invite you to look at your little receptacle of grape juice. And as you do, I want you to realize what it took to get this in here. We are surrounded by miles and miles of vineyards that grow grapes for juice. And those individual grapes have to be taken and crushed. Completely crushed. And this juice represents Jesus crushed life for us. In the Old Testament, blood represented life, and Jesus gave his life for us. He loved us to the end. He served us, and that is his glory. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, after they ate the bread, in the same manner, took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This morning we want to remember Jesus, don't we? We want to take him, his life, into our life. Let us pray. Oh God, the glory of Jesus served as he served us to the very end and continues to serve and love us with such great love. And as a response to that, Lord, we open up ourselves to receive the life of Jesus so that we will have life, life abundantly, life eternally. As Pastor Bob read, if we have Jesus, we have life. And Lord, we want Jesus. We want life. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for this symbolism. In your son's precious name, amen. Amen. Everyone, drink.
Have you tasted his glory? In this world, we think of glory being untouched by the dirty world around it. But the glory of God is that he came right to the heart of the dirty world that we live in, and he gave himself completely for us. For that's the ultimate of his glory. His glory is his love. And he, seeing us in our need, did what love commands. He went the distance in Jesus. He didn't say, "How far can I get by with?" He said, "How far does it take?" And he came after us. He became one of us. He gave himself. So I'm so happy today to be able to say, as you today tangibly are putting your faith in Jesus, what he has done and what he is doing for you, no matter what you've ever thought of yourself, you are clean. No matter what nonsense you've gotten into, and might be even in the middle of right now in some ways, you are clean. Because Jesus says so, and he has done everything to back up that word, to make it more than just words. It is true. The same creator who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, says, "You are clean." And you are. And so, letting go of our hang-ups, our need to be approved, affirmed, etc., let us go into this world and show his glory. Let us do like Jesus and give up on proving how important we are and go out there to demonstrate his love, because that is his glory. After we pray, I'm going to ask you to join with me in singing a cappella. See, it's okay, Janine. In singing a cappella, "God is so good." We'll sing, "God is so good, God answers prayer, and he's coming soon." This is our faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us today. We thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for this beautiful experience that reminds us of what Jesus has done, allowing his body be tormented, bruised, and crushed for us, and letting his blood be spilled so that we can be clean to the uttermost. And so that knowing that our standing with you as sons and daughters, we are clean, that we can actually, by your power, by you working in us to will and to do your good pleasure, go out there and live the lives of love that you have called us to, loving you with all our hearts and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Make the harmonies. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. One more. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.